The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
And welcome in. Todd is taking the day off on a beautiful Friday. Hope you're having a great one. It would be a good Friday, but that might confuse you into thinking it's the good Friday instead of a good Friday. But hopefully it'll be a great Friday. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd. And, you know, there are major issues affecting our globe, our country. We get gas prices are spiking up. You've got Zelensky and Biden slouching us towards Armageddon. You have the economy continuing to be in free fall. Millions are coming across our border illegally. But what are most Americans talking about today? The Tom Brady-Giselle divorce prospects. So let's get the cultural stuff out of the way quick, get it out of the way early, and get to the things that can destroy our family, our economy, and our future. So let's talk about Tom and Giselle. So Tom Brady and Giselle have apparently both hired divorce lawyers. Some of my friends are already joking that after they split their assets, Giselle, is it Giselle or is it Gazelle? Gazelle? Giselle? Anyway, Mrs. Brady will apparently end up with more Super Bowl rings than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, by the time Tom divides his, she will have more Super Bowl rings than Aaron Rodgers has, which is kind of a commentary in and of itself. In any event, the speculation is that she's upset that Tom has decided to keep playing football. I don't want to get into the romantic relationships of people. I don't want to try to give people domestic advice. I'm the last guy in the world that should do that. But honey, he was a football player when you married him. It's not like he was an accountant working at the accounting firm down the street and all of a sudden he had a midlife crisis, decided he wants to try to be an NFL quarterback, completely disrupted your life, and all of a sudden he's an NFL GOAT, the greatest of all time. He was what he was when you married him. It'd kind of be like if Tom Brady started complaining and seeking divorce advice over the fact that there is so much women's cosmetics in the bathroom. There are so many hair products in the bathroom at home. Tom, she was a model when you married her. You should have figured some of that stuff out on the front end. So apparently the rift, at least the reported rift, is that he wants to play this one more season of NFL to show he still has it at 44. And he still does have it. Doesn't have much help when it comes to the Tampa Bay team, but he's still racking in the dough, racking in the endorsements, and apparently they've stopped construction on their huge mansion down in Florida as they're trying to sort things out with their lawyers. And so again, I'm not wanting to offer relationship advice. I'm just saying if you decide to buy a house or build a house or move into an apartment next to an airport, you have absolutely no right to complain a few weeks later that you're hearing airplane noises. You move in next to an airport, there are going to be airplanes landing and taking off. You marry a football player, there's going to be some football player in your life. And the fact that, energy prices spiked, gas prices went up, Tom decides to retire, and then the next thing you know, gas prices are $4 a gallon, and he has to go back to work just to be able to afford to drive around town, take the kids to soccer or football practice or dance lessons. I mean, it's not his fault. I mean, you can actually blame Biden for this one. And appropriately so. Now, while I'm not wanting to get into relationship advice, one of the funnier comments that came down was Megyn Kelly. You remember her, former Fox star. Then she went to NBC, and now she's, I think, reinvented herself as a podcast star. She was doing an interview with like a New York Post writer and a psychologist, and they were commenting on marital disagreements, marital issues that arise. And Megan made the comment that she thinks that emotional connection between a husband and some other woman, a third woman, that emotional attachment is a bigger issue to most women than a physical connection. And that, you know, women can get over their spouse having sex with another woman easier than they can having him develop an intimate, close, personal relationship without sex with another woman. And so Megyn Kelly actually made the comment that then made it into the New York Post that she would rather her husband have a fling, a one-night stand, rather than get emotional and cry with a woman friend. Now, to his credit, Kelly's husband had the greatest response ever. He texted her and said, "This feels like a trap," which she then shared and posted. And I agree with him. Feels like a trap. You know, when your wife is saying, "Honey, I'd really rather you have a one-night stand rather than get emotionally and verklempt and cry with a woman," that does feel like a trap. And he's smart enough to realize, don't go there. Maybe Tom has dallied. Maybe Giselle has dallied. I don't know. I'm just saying that Megyn Kelly had a pretty good description of it, is that it's his love affair with football that is apparently the other woman as far as Giselle is concerned. Now, I don't wish ill on Tom Brady. I'm a big Tom Brady fan. I actually liked him when he was at the Patriots. I like him when he's with Tampa Bay. But, honey, he's just one hamstring away from being home. So on the worst day, Sunday, Monday night football, Thursday night, you're really just one hard hit from having him back in your life all the time, and it's really not going through paying divorce lawyers a lot of money when this is probably the last season anyway. There's probably something more than what we're hearing, but at least that's the celebrity take. The other celebrity news, and I keep up with this so you don't have to. I mean, it's just kind of giving you the footnotes, the Cliff Notes edition, so you don't have to follow the celebrity news and the culture news. So that's the Brady issue. We're also getting way too much information about Harry and Meghan Markle. The whole reason, well, not the only reason, there were plenty of other reasons, you know, having a king tell us what to do, taxes on tea. There were a lot of reasons we revolted from having a king oversee America. But one of the reasons had to be we didn't want to have to be embroiled in their royal lives. And here we are a couple of hundred years later, when not only did we have wall-to-wall coverage of the queen passing away, and after everybody watched The Crown, that was probably a legitimate coverage issue. But Meghan and Harry constantly being in the news when they've even been booted out by the royal family is really kind of TMI, too much information about a couple we really don't care about. And a couple of years after, 100 years after revolting, we shouldn't have to be getting the details of royal intrigue. So you got Harry and Meghan that are trying to weave their way back into being treated as royals. He was apparently upset at the funeral of his grandmother that he didn't get to wear a uniform and didn't get to salute. I'm always taken by the number of medals those guys have. When you look at pictures of Dwight Eisenhower, who won World War II, he has like two or three rows of medals. You look at these kings and princes in these European countries, they have 20 rows of medals and things streaming off them, and it's like, what did they do to earn them? You know, when was the last time they were in a firefight? You know, they might have gone to training, but they're not exactly on the front lines of Iraq. They're not going to Fallujah or Baghdad and fighting for their lives, but they have tons of medals. Well, Harry got upset because he didn't get to wear his medals and wear his uniform, and Prince William, the future king, got to, so he was a little upset about that. He and Meghan are apparently having a bit of a hard time. I remember when they got married, one of my friends said, "Hey, have you noticed that this woman that Harry's marrying looks a lot like that woman from the Lawyer Show, Suits?" It's like, it is the woman from the Lawyer Show. Again, people didn't see that she was literally an actress and is now acting her way and has acted her way into the royal family, and now they're acting up in a way that gets more celebrity coverage. You got to have the tabloids. Now, granted, they haven't been on the front pages of any of the U.S. tabloids in a while, but they're trying to work their way there. I mean, they're just one reality show from becoming the new Kardashians, and God help us all if if that happens. So there's your celebrity news. Oh, one other celebrity item. an LA Time column has ripped Billy Eichner's self-importance entitlement in reaction to the box office bomb of his Bros movie. So this guy does this movie that is the first big theatrical release of a gay rom-com, romantic comedy. So, and it bombs. I mean, it cost him like $40, $50 million to make it. I think it made like $4 million at the box office. Even gays and lesbians didn't go see this movie. But he's blaming all the homophobic, non-sexual deviants for not wanting to go watch a romantic comedy featuring two gay guys falling in and out of love, kind of the Hallmark version of gay love. And people aren't going to see it. When you can go see Top Gun for the fourth or fifth time and enjoy it immensely, why would you go see this in the first place? But he's jumping up and down, blaming everybody else but himself for the box office bomb. When Waterworld bombed, even with Kevin Costner in it, he didn't blame gay folks for not wanting to see a topless Kevin Costner. I mean, so again, there's your celebrity news for the day. We're going to take a break and get back to the real news that may affect you and your family much more than whether Meghan and Harry are getting around together and whether Tom and Giselle will kiss and make up after football season. I mean, we've got nuclear Armageddon looming. We've got economic downturn, gas prices spiking. We'll get to that next on the Todd Starnes Show.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Y'all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, our good friend, wants to give back exclusively to our listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. You better order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable, and they have a cool, crisp feel. And they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so you better order right now. Call 1-800-986-3994 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-986-3994. Or you can go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd taking the day off. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. You can go to Twitter, catch up with some of the stories that I'm chatting about today at Gill Report, at the Gill Report. Let me make sure that I'm telling you exactly right. Yeah, at the Gill Report. There's a the. At the Gill Report, you can find some of the stories that we're talking about. And, do you know what the price of a loaf of bread is today? Gallon of milk? You know, like most of us, you have to buy those things. It really doesn't matter how much they are. You have to buy them, and you're not looking as closely at those prices, even though you know they're higher than they were before Joe Biden took office. If you've been in a grocery store lately, you know that there's still an abundance of lacking space on the shelves. I mean, there's stuff missing. I was at a grocery store the other day. The processed food, the meat packages of, you know, bologna and turkey and those, it was almost empty. It looked like a Russian grocery store in the 1980s. We do have an abundance of toilet paper and paper items now back on the shelves. Remember during COVID, those were completely vacant. They were limiting how many rolls of paper towels or toilet paper you could get. Well, the paper towels and toilet paper seem to have been replenished. But there are limits on almost every food item as you kind of walk down the process in the grocery store. And if you'll notice, in addition to noticing that prices are higher, basically when you fill up your grocery cart, it's going to cost you the same or more than it did a year ago, and you have less stuff. And if you'll also notice carefully when you look at the cereal boxes, they're the same price or maybe even a little bit higher, but they're smaller. They're not as thick. They're smaller, but still charging you the same price. They've done the packaging renegotiating to make it seem like you're not paying more in some cases when you're actually paying more because you're getting less. all this is not a product of supply chain interruption. We're not getting our Rice Krispies from China. And yet, we're not getting our bologna from China. And yet, you're seeing the vacancies on our grocery store shelves because this economy has been in free fall, and the Biden administration has not done anything to make it any better. Everything's costing more for you to get less. And you may not know exactly what that loaf of bread cost specifically, or the gallon of milk. You know, politicians get tripped up on that all the time. Somebody will say, what does a gallon of milk cost? And that's used to say, well, you're disconnected. You don't know. Well, those are the things you have to buy. It doesn't matter. You may have to cut back on Oreo cookies because you just bought a loaf of bread and milk, and now you can't get the good stuff. But the specific prices of those aren't as top of mind as gasoline. Part of that reason is because we constantly have to refill. You know that every mile you go is costing you, whether it's going to the grocery store, going to kids' soccer practices, whether it's going to work, going to school. And we're also reminded constantly on what gas prices are because there are big signs on every street corner telling us exactly where they are. So if it tips up 10 cents, goes down 10 cents, we immediately know. It's being tracked for us, right in our faces. We can't ignore it. And so what we've seen in the last several weeks is gas prices have come down a little bit. Now, the Biden administration is trying to take credit, claiming that they're a $1.30 less than they were at the high. Yeah, well, they're $1.50 higher than when you took office, you moron. And why did they go up? Because as soon as Joe Biden took office, he turned the spigot off of the Keystone Pipeline, made it more difficult for energy companies to get natural gas, to get oil, declared war earlier on coal companies, has been shutting down coal plants and coal production. Meanwhile, you've got China building 100 new coal facilities while we're closing them in this country, while Europe is getting ready to freeze to death during the winter months. The Biden administration created the energy crisis and then tried to blame it on Putin when the prices had already gone up substantially, when inflation had already risen dramatically before Putin ever did anything in Ukraine. So the Biden administration has been trying to blame everybody and then started releasing oil from our strategic petroleum reserve just to temporarily lower the gas prices. And it worked a little bit over the last month. But now the Saudis are getting ready to cut production by 2 million barrels per day. Keep in mind, the Keystone Pipeline would have been about 883,000 barrels per day. But we turned that off. So about half of what the Saudis are reducing, we turned off. And then we're releasing another 10 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, again, putting us deeper in the hole, just to give a temporary respite at the gas pump. But it's not going to work because the companies are going to start already factoring in that 2 million barrels a day less from Saudi. So your gas prices are going to go up 10, 20, 30, 40 cents back up to that $4 range or higher. It's already over $6 in California. And the Biden administration is panicking. But the last thing they want to do is re-energize America by turning on our pipelines, by opening up the leases so we can be energy independent again like we were before he took office. Meanwhile, he's prostrating himself, or I'd say prostituting himself, to the Saudis, to Venezuela to get their oil, rather than opening our spigots and putting us on strong footing, not just economically, but in terms of the leverage we have in the globe. If we're producing our oil, our natural gas, our coal, we don't have to answer to the Saudis or anybody else. And that's where we were before he took office. We're going to talk more about the gas prices and how everything he's doing is making it worse. And he's just looking for temporary solutions just to get past the midterms, trying to make the gas prices come down just a little bit, just to skate past the November midterms. It's not going to work. And more importantly, what he's doing is making it worse. We're going to feel the pain in December. We're going to feel the pain for the next several years, because what they've done has made us in an even more dangerous situation. Not to mention that we have to cater to folks like the Saudis. We're having to cater to China. We're having to cater to Russia. Russia is controlling the spigot on power and energy in Europe, which is taking away the ability to support Ukraine if they want to. When people start freezing in their homes, they're going to care a lot less about Ukrainians than they do about their own family and whether they're having to burn furniture for firewood. We're going to talk more about that in the next half hour. Also, 30 minutes from now, we're going to hear from Senator Bill Hagerty. He's going to join us, give us his take not only on the energy crisis, the continued debacle of energy policy from Joe Biden, but also what are the prospects of Republicans retaking control of the U.S. Senate? We have a senator, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who's just announced he's stepping down to become president of the University of Florida. What impact is that going to have on Republican prospects in the midterms and beyond? We'll talk about it next.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Hey, welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. And if you want to chime in and join us, talk about anything from looming nuclear war to gas prices to the potential looming red wave as we get closer. What are we, like 30 days from the election, midterm elections? Early voting's already started in some locations. You have 2 weeks till early voting starts throughout a lot of the country. So if you want to talk about any of that, the number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And just to kind of underline what I was talking about earlier when we did our cultural and celebrity update, I mean, we got looming nuclear war, gas prices spiking, the inflation, you know, taking away more from your paycheck, disastrous potential for a nuclear war in Ukraine that Zelensky and Biden seem to be pushing us towards. And yet, one of my friends just texted me, Steve, that first segment when you were talking about celebrity and culture update and the Tom Brady potential Giselle divorce, it sounds like you're taking Tom's side. No, people aren't accusing me of taking Putin's side versus Zelensky or vice versa, but I'm sounding like I'm taking Tom's side and that I don't really understand how women feel. I will agree 100%. The last thing I understand is how women feel, think, or really kind of do anything. I'm the last guy in the world that understands women, and I will put that out front. I'm just pointing out that Tom Brady was a football player when she married him, so she shouldn't be surprised that he's a football player. I mean, the jersey, the pads, the helmets, the eye black, all of that should have been a pretty good clue. Now, granted, he probably didn't dress that way at the wedding, but sometime before the wedding, she had to figure out this dude was a football player. And as I pointed out, all the cosmetics and hair products in the bathroom should have been a clue to him that he was marrying a model. And it shouldn't have been any big surprise. Now, I don't know if you saw that one of the porn stars has offered to comfort Tom, female porn stars, has offered to comfort Tom during this trying time in his life. She apparently has not yet heard from Tom. Hopefully his divorce lawyers are telling him to at least wait until some settlement is reached. But an example of how clueless I am about women that I will share with you, by the way, I got a text from a woman friend of mine earlier this week, and I'm reading this because I want to get it exactly right because I didn't catch it. And I'm sure a lot of other guys are going to be just like me. I got this text, just went shopping at the specialty store, a fairly embarrassing experience, and then there's emoji with like two hands over your mouth looking either like you're about to puke or you're embarrassed. And I didn't think anything about it. Didn't think anything about it. But, you know, wow, well, that's good. You went shopping at a specialty store. I'm thinking ceramics. I'm thinking culinary items. I'm thinking tchotchkes that, you know, you start getting candles and stuff for the holiday. So I get another text from her saying, OMG, I'm embarrassed. I can't believe I sent that to you. I meant to send it to my girlfriend. And I'm still thinking to myself, why are you embarrassed about going to some specialty store to get, again, culinary items, pots and pans, specific shoes? And then she clarified that it's one of those specialty stores for, like, sex toys. I said, you know, if you hadn't brought it up, I never would have even made the leap from specialty stores of culinary items and candles. So, again, I'm probably the most oblivious guy out there. So if you ever miss send me a text, 50% shot that I'm not going to get it anyway in the first place. So you don't need to explain. Anyway, back to gas and nuclear war. In the last segment, we were talking a little bit about gas prices and how the Biden administration is constantly making things worse. And again, it's the release of 10 million more barrels from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve when we're already at the lowest level since 1984. We're about 170 million barrels below where we should be. And the whole reason we have that is if for some reason we get into a war, we get into an economic crisis, we've got our own stockpile. And yet we're releasing our stockpile solely for the political purposes of Joe Biden trying to lower gas prices temporarily in order to do better at the polls in just 30 days. Meanwhile, the Saudis, after Joe Biden went over and begged and pleaded for them to release more oil, have decided to cut back their production 2 million barrels a day. Now, again, 10 million barrels, that gives us like 5 days of what the Saudis are going to cut. Now, the Saudis haven't cut it yet. It's going to be November 1st. But what oil companies and gas companies do is they got to figure out what they're going to get in the pipeline, no pun intended, of when they're going to get it and what it's going to cost. So the higher gas prices are already going to start being felt because they're having to anticipate what they're going to pay and therefore what you're going to pay by the time it gets to the pump. So we've already seen 10, 15 cent gallon increases in just the last week. We're going to see 30 and 40 cent gallon increases right back to where we were before we started using our Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and artificially deflate the prices. And meanwhile, the Russians, we're imposing new sanctions on them, which isn't going to hurt them because all they do is sell more to India, to China, to other global economies that have to have oil. Oil is a commodity. Now, granted, the Venezuelan oil is pretty dirty, pretty nasty, and it costs more to turn it into good gasoline. But oil is a commodity. So whether it's American oil, Saudi oil, Venezuelan oil, oil's oil, and the price is going to be set in the global market. And a 10 million barrel release only hurts us, only continues to, no pun intended, fuel the Russian economy when they're selling their gas at higher prices and oil at higher prices because the sanctions have risen the prices of those items. You know, we had an opportunity when President Trump was in office to replenish our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. When oil was about $30 a barrel, there had been a plummet. It had been a disastrous level for those in the oil business. We could have completely refilled our Strategic Petroleum Reserve at about $30 a barrel. Instead, we're now letting more go, and we're going to have to replenish it at more like $80 or $90 a barrel. I don't know about you, but you know, if I'm trying to figure out how to do a good economic plan, I want to buy low and sell high, not sell high and then buy low. And what we're doing under Biden is selling high, and we're going to buy higher because we missed the opportunity because of partisan politics. The Democrats did not want to let President Trump replenish our Strategic Petroleum Reserve at those low oil prices because they were claiming, oh, that's just a handout to the big oil companies. No, it's filling our tank when it's cheap. I was telling my sons this week, fill up your gas tank, keep it filled now because prices will be higher next week. But the Democrats didn't want to go along with that because it was all, what jersey are you wearing? And if Trump was advocating curing cancer, they would have been opposed to it, just as they were opposed to replenishing our Strategic Petroleum Reserve at a low price, knowing it was eventually going to go up because they didn't want him to, quote, get a win or somehow help the oil companies. Wouldn't it be nice to have a fully full petroleum reserve right now at $30 a barrel instead of letting it go and knowing we're going to have to replenish it at three times that amount? But no, the economic policies of this administration are literally not just hurting families at the gas pump. It's hurting us everywhere. Because oil isn't just used to make gasoline. Everything in the manufacturing process, the tires on your car, petroleum and oil products are all over the place. And when you are raising that price, you're raising the price on everything. Meanwhile, you've got the administration trying to deny that inflation or a recession are real, even though you look at the reality of what the economic numbers tell us, and it's clear. We're already in a recession, and we could be heading worse. We're already feeling the brunt of inflation, where wages have gone up slightly, but the wages value have gone down and continue to go down each month. Workers are working more and earning less, the same way that we're paying more and getting less at the grocery store and certainly at the gas pumps. And it all comes back to the same policies by the same policymakers that have literally reversed everything that was working when they took office. You know, I have people ask, well, what could you do immediately to fix the gas prices, the energy crisis that we're in? Go back to what we were doing before Joe Biden took office. Now, you're going to have to do two things. One, turn back on the Keystone Pipeline. And that's not going to flow 883 million barrels a day immediately. But it will send the message to the world that it's coming. And just like the fact that the Saudis are cutting production 2 million barrels a day in November, we're going to feel that pain at the pump immediately. If we immediately went back to opening the Keystone Pipeline, again, it would send the left-wing greenies that dominate the Biden administration into a conniption fit, but it would restore American independence in the energy sector. The other thing you'd need to do is restart and reinitiate the leases so that oil companies can go out and get the natural gas, go out and get the oil that's in the ground, go out and pull up the coal that's in the ground. But you'd also have to do more than just say, okay, you can go back at it. I think you're going to have to put in some legislative protection so that you cannot turn the spigot off again immediately like Joe Biden did with his executive orders. You're going to have to make sure that those who are going to make the investment in drilling, in pursuing and exploring for new oil and energy sources, you got to give them a guarantee that they're not going to cut it off again. Nobody's going to go out and make those big investments in exploration and production if they know you can just turn it back at the flip of a switch like Joe Biden did when he took office. You're going to have to give some assurances that their investment will have a time to be replenished and that you can't just, you know, flip the switch and put them out of business again. So those things would immediately have an impact. Biden's not going to do that. He'd rather go down and beg and plead for oil from Venezuela, a communist socialist dictatorship that's in the pockets of Cuba and Russia. He'd rather do that rather than free up the energy sector and the economic benefits to America. Everybody's better than America in the Joe Biden administration view. That's why Make America Great Again is going to be the watchword for this midterm election and beyond. We're going to talk a little bit about the polls, a little bit about where things are heading in this 30 days to election and what these energy prices may mean as Democrats are increasingly panicked and the Biden administration is increasingly panicked over their prospects. Is a red wave coming? We'll talk about that next on The Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back, and I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes today. Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee is going to join us at the top of the hour. You'll want to be sure to catch that. We'll talk a little bit about Republican prospects for retaking the U.S. Senate and the House and what that can mean to preventing the further excesses of the Biden administration. In the meantime, we're going to have to depend on our attorneys general at the state level, who are doing a great job fighting back against the executive orders. But if we can retake the Senate, retake the House, the president will only have executive orders with which to do more damage to America, and that will be more difficult, and most of those executive orders will eventually be tossed aside by the courts because they're overreaching. But we'll talk more about that with Senator Hagerty in a moment. As we head into the weekend, though, I want to share some exciting news about our campaign to help Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, ADF is the world's largest nonprofit legal organization. It's committed to protecting religious freedom. And they've already won like 14 cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. That's where the battles are being fought. And that's where we need to keep winning. Well, right now, a generous ministry gift from a friend of ADF is providing the opportunity for us to match all first-time gifts to ADF through the Todd Starnes Show up to a total of $25,000. So you give, it doubles up. So your gift of $100 or any amount gets doubled when you go to toddstarnes.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Now, we're all concerned about cancel culture, as we should be. Now, whether it's a public school teacher that's being dismissed for refusing to teach woke ideology, a business that comes under attack by left-wing activists, cancel culture is harming American society and our families every day. Drag shows with twerking trans appearing in front of our children, that's just becoming a regular occurrence unless we fight it in the courts, and that's what ADF does. So today, we need your personal support for Alliance Defending Freedom. And if you're somebody who really wants to help with a significant gift towards the $25,000 goal, but, you know, in this economic environment, you can't write the big check all at once, you can easily click and make a monthly gift in any amount, again, at toddstarnes.com, clicking on Alliance Defending Freedom. Go ahead and do it today. They need your help. And before we get into the weekend, go ahead and take advantage of the opportunity to help ADF keep fighting for us and securing our freedom. So we'll get it done now. Go to toddstarnes.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom tab, and make that donation today. You know, I mentioned that we've got an opportunity with a red wave building, and Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting for our religious liberties. One of the things that I see as a prospect that could derail what looks to be like a looming red wave. I mean, we're seeing the polls in Senate races and House races. Newt Gingrich is predicting that we could pick up 40 to 50 or more seats in the House, take that gavel away from Nancy Pelosi and put it into the hands of conservatives, not just Republicans. On the Senate side, again, when we look at races in Arizona, for example, Blake Masters absolutely obliterated Senator Kelly in a debate last night. One of the reasons that the Democrats don't want to debate is because they get their hats handed to them. You have Herschel Walker moving ahead in Georgia, which is why they're starting the entire smear campaign on him. We're seeing races move into the margin of error or putting Republicans ahead in blue states, blue districts that we wouldn't have even thought about winning just a few months ago. So there is a red wave building, and part of it is because of the security issue, economic security, border security, security in our communities. I mean, the crime rates are running amok. We're going to talk a little bit about how the FBI isn't even being honest in how bad crime is in our big cities because the big cities aren't providing the accurate crime details. When you're seeing places like Chicago where murders are spiking, LA, New York, assaults, crime has become a major issue, not just in the big blue cities, but in the suburbs surrounding them. So security, personal security, economic security, national security, those are the issues that are going to matter. And if Republicans will stick to their guns, no pun intended on those, we got a great chance to pick up seats that Democrats don't even see themselves losing. Joe Biden is an anchor chain around their neck. He's not going to be campaigning in most of these districts. Did you see the video, by the way, where he was speaking to the press and then bizarrely started just backing up? He needs to be like one of those trucks. It needs to go beep, beep, beep every time he's giving a speech or speaking to anybody because soon he's going to be backing up. I'm shocked he didn't fall over. And then there was another one today where the reporters are asking him questions, shouting questions at him. He literally starts running away as they ask him, are we looking towards Armageddon, nuclear war? Yeah, President Zelensky in Ukraine this week demanded, didn't ask, didn't request. Zelensky demanded that NATO launch a preemptive military strike against Russia to take away their nuclear capacity. A preemptive strike by NATO? Ukraine isn't in NATO. And for him to demand that we start World War III? Now he's trying to back off and saying, oh, I meant more sanctions. I'm sorry, dude, even with your tortured English and Ukrainian, what you said is what you said. And Joe Biden now is warning of nuclear Armageddon. You know, you've got the U.S. government starting to dispatch radioactive pharmaceuticals in the event of a nuclear strike. That may just be a tactical nuke in the battlefield in Ukraine. But that opens the Pandora's box of a horrific set of dominoes. And yet the Biden administration is clueless and Zelensky is demanding NATO launch a preemptive strike and get us into World War III. We'll talk more about it. Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee joins us. He'll give us his take when we come back for more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a minute.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Same Common Sense Conservatism, just Steve Gill instead of Todd today. I'm filling in for Todd as he takes a needed day off. But we'll still roll forward with conservative common sense. Again, if you want to join us on the phone lines, the number is 844-747-8868. If you want to see some of the stories we're talking about, you can find me on Twitter at The Gill Report, at The Gill Report. And joining us on our Liberty University Studios line is Senator Bill Hagerty, senator from the state of Tennessee, longtime friend and one of the real good guys in the Senate. Bill, good to have you with us.
It's great to be back with you, Steve. I always enjoy my conversations with you.
You know, you've had a career not only in the business world, but then as the ambassador to Japan. So you get both the global economy and the global business environment. This the disaster that we have created with energy policy, where the president had to go hat in hand to beg the Saudis for relief, which they've now decided they're going to cut the oil production by 2 million barrels a day. We could be producing about 1 million barrels a day with the Keystone if we hadn't had that shut off by this administration first thing when they were in business. We're now going to release even more from our strategic petroleum reserve, diminishing by another 10 million barrels, putting us at the lowest level since the early 80s with that reserve. We're losing not only the economic clout by not being energy independent, but as you've seen again, as being an ambassador and being involved in the foreign arena for a long time, we lose our political clout and our foreign influence clout as well.
That's absolutely true. We were in a position under the Trump administration where we were actually net energy exporter, Steve. And when I was ambassador to Japan, I urged them to make billions of dollars investment, which they did, to import U.S. LNG. So, you know, we've taken a real turn for the worse from our national security perspective. And if you look at this administration's kowtowing to these killers overseas, they're going hat in hand to Venezuela, begging Maduro. They're negotiating with the Iranians. You know, it was an embarrassment, a national embarrassment, when Joe Biden goes over to meet with the Saudis to beg them to pump more, and they turn around and OPEC decides, well, we're going to pump a couple million barrels less. Take that. And you know what's even more insulting, Steve, and this has gotten very little notice in the media, but you mentioned that Biden has been unloading the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. He's doing that because he's got a political problem. This isn't strategic from a national security standpoint. This is strategic from a November election standpoint. That's why he's unloading our petroleum reserves now, to try and hold down gas prices, to try and get his ratings back up in time for the midterm elections. He's unloaded so much that we've not actually been able to process all of it. So you probably read about China taking some of that strategic petroleum reserve that we've released. The Saudis also did. So the Saudis have been able to buy our strategic petroleum reserves. They've been able to buy our oil at yesterday's price. You saw what they did yesterday in terms of raising OPEC prices. They're going to turn around and sell it right back to us at tomorrow's price, which is much higher. The Biden administration got totally played on this one, and we look like chumps. And America sees this, and it's just despicable.
You know, you've served in Asia, both working in Japan and throughout Asia. Face is very important. This president is costing us face. We're losing respect. The foreign leaders have no respect for this administration, and therefore they're able to disrespect and ignore us. You wouldn't see Kim Jong-un shooting ballistic missiles over Japan if President Trump was still in the White House.
I can assure you that would be the case. You know, I was there when he first tried that. And this administration, I think, is just inviting this type of behavior all around the world. The world is a far less stable place. The biggest impact certainly came from the, you know, botched retreat from Afghanistan. 13 servicemen and women killed. One of them, Ryan Knoss from Tennessee. I had to call Ryan's parents after that happened. It was a complete disgrace. And the world saw what Joe Biden was doing. He was chasing a press release because he wanted to be the first president to get our troops home in time for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. he did that, and he cost American lives, and he cost our reputation abroad. And he did it at the, you know, by overriding the advice of the Secretary of Defense, overriding the advice of the Secretary of State. He did it for a press release.
Bill, you've been involved. Senator Bill Hagerty with us on our Newsmakers line. You've been involved again in dealing with global leaders as an ambassador and now as a senator. We can recover economically. How long does it take us to recover our reputation with foreign leaders?
Well, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take a change. It certainly didn't take long to destroy it. And I'll pick on one that you and I have both talked about before. That's Vladimir Putin. You think about what Vladimir Putin saw from the moment that Joe Biden came into office. The first thing that Joe Biden does is he turns around and he waives the sanctions that Congress had imposed on Nord Stream 2. That gave Putin the green light to go ahead and make Europe completely dependent on him strategically for its natural gas. Biden waives this. It's a gift to Putin. Putin didn't even give anything for that. Probably the next thing that happened, which was even worse, was the new START treaty negotiations. Again, this didn't get a lot of cover, but this is negotiating this is the next round of negotiations over extending our nuclear treaty with Russia. Trump would not renew it under the existing terms for a very simple reason. That treaty only covers about 45% of Russia's nuclear arsenal. More than half of their nuclear arsenal is not even covered by this, meaning they can produce whatever they want, particularly with these short-range tactical weapons that we're worried about right now, whereas it covers over 90% of the United States arsenal. Trump's not going to sign a deal like that. You or I wouldn't sign a deal like that either. It's not reciprocal. Trump wanted to make it to make it equal, to make it equitable, to make Russia live under the same sort of restrictions that we would have to. What does Joe Biden do? He comes in and gives them a five-year extension on the old original deal. Putin can't sign it fast enough. And then they hit the Colonial Pipeline. Russian hackers attack our Colonial Pipeline. You all remember, everybody on the air remembers what happens with that. When they shut down the Colonial Pipeline, it hit us in the southeast. You know what the consequence was for that? Nothing. Joe Biden goes over to Vladimir Putin and says, here are 16 industries that you mustn't touch if you hack us again. Now, I'm sure Putin went through that list and said, gee, I didn't even think about number 13 on that list. You know, it is amazing. There's been zero consequence to Putin, and he witnesses what happened in Afghanistan. And he realizes that we've got leadership right now that within less than a year has completely fumbled every ball. And they don't have, the Biden administration doesn't have the resolve or the willpower to stand up. That emboldened Putin to do what he's done in Ukraine. And you started by talking about our energy policy. If you think about the impact of Biden's energy policy on U.S. energy prices, those energy markets are global. He had an inflationary impact on energy prices all over the world. And by driving energy prices up, from the neighborhood of $50 to $60 a barrel, where the Russian economy barely subsists, up to $120 a barrel, Vladimir Putin is now the richest man in the world because they're the second largest producer of oil and gas in the world. So this has been a huge gift to him. We have inadvertently funded his entire war on Ukraine, and that's because of Joe Biden's short-sighted energy policy. It's just amazing what the Biden administration has done, and when a world leader like Vladimir Putin sees this, he views it all as a gift.
And unfortunately, other world leaders see the opportunity to act up, like Kim Jong-un and others. Bill, when you talk to your fellow senators on the Democrat side of the aisle, and I talk to a lot of Republican senators and House members, very few of them are actually talking to people across the aisle because there's really nothing they can offer that is worth a conversation. But do you hear from any of the senators from these blue states? I mean, Joe Manchin sold out his state for a promise that Schumer broke. You've got senators in Louisiana that are oil producing states. Do they even try to excuse what this administration is doing?
It's really challenging. I saw that today. Chuck Schumer came out and said we're going to pursue NOPEC, which is allowing the organization of the OPEC states, the Saudis, the UAE, to be sued in U.S. antitrust courts for price fixing. That's his solution to the fact that rather than pumping more oil and gas to make us more dependent on them, they decided to pump less. And, he's going to be very tough. He's going to be bipartisan in terms of imposing that solution. But he doesn't mention the fact that it's his own administration that took us from energy independence less than 2 years ago to a position where we're now on our knees begging the Saudis, begging the UAE to pump more oil. And they're thumbing their nose at us and saying, we're actually going to cut back on it. We're going to drive prices even further through the roof, and we're going to take your own strategic petroleum reserves from you, and we're going to sell it back to you at a higher price.
When you look at how gas prices affect the consumers, I mean, I was mentioning earlier on the show that I can't tell you exactly what a loaf of bread cost or a gallon of milk because you just got to buy it. But with gasoline, there's a big sign on almost every street corner telling you exactly what it is right now, and you can see if it goes up or goes down. It's been going up in the last week. What impact do you think it's going to have? I know you guys are desperately trying to get control of the Senate in Republican hands so that Biden will be limited to acting with executive order and not being able to pass crazy stuff in the House and Senate. How do you see the prospects for Republicans retaking the Senate at this point?
The prospects are getting better every day, Steve, and you hit the nail on the head. What the American public is concerned about is what you just pointed your finger at. It's inflation. It's the economy. It's high energy prices. And that is driving every American to think very hard about their most basic subsistence needs. And what the Democrats want to talk about are a number of issues that fall much further down in the list in terms of what Americans are concerned about. But when you think about the economy, when you think about the crime wave that's been precipitated across this nation since Joe Biden began to run for office, you remember they were talking about defunding the police. That's manifested itself in massive crime wave across the country. They've collapsed our southern border. There is no penalty whatsoever for breaking the law at our southern border. And I'm sure the criminal element looks at this in all of our cities and says, there's not going to be any penalty for me here either. So, you know, the criminals are emboldened here in America. Our enemies are emboldened overseas. The American public sees all of this, and they see massive incompetence. They see misplaced priorities. And you know something, Steve, I think at the very gut, they're not polling this very well, but at a very gut level, every American is going to always remember the embarrassment that we felt over what happened in Afghanistan. Joe Biden and the Democrats embarrassed us as a nation. And if you look at the policies that they pursued, there's been no apology for this. There has been, you know, just a complete denial of the failure that's occurred there. And they continue to pursue policies that weaken us as a nation, and the American public see that too.
Well, we appreciate you being on the front lines of the fight. Longtime friend, one of my best friends, and keep up the great work, Senator, and we'll catch up soon.
Much appreciated, Steve. All the best to you.
Thanks. Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee with us. Coming up right after this break, Matthew Peterson is the co-founder of New Founding and president of Firebrand PAC. We're going to talk a little bit about the cultural woke agenda. We talked about the economic factors in these midterm elections. The cultural woke agenda is going to have a big impact as well, and Matthew's going to tell us a little bit about that on the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment. And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show from the Liberty University Studios. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd. And we were just talking with Senator Hagerty about the economic impact on the midterm elections that are looming. Matthew Peterson is co-founder of Firebrand PAC. It focuses on making sure that we combat the woke agenda that's breaking down our culture as well. You can go to AmericanFirebrand.com and find out more. And Matthew, good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here. Important to talk about this.
And you've just made the move from California to Texas, right?
That is correct. Last year, we packed it up and came as grateful refugees to the Republic of Texas.
The great thing is that the folks moving from California and Illinois and New York to Texas and Tennessee and Florida, I'm finding that most of them are coming because they have rejected the woke agenda. They're not coming trying to infect the rest of us. But every now and then, one or two will slip through.
Well, I tell you, I think that this isn't talked about enough. A lot of the people, I'd be concerned if all these people from California were moving. I don't want to go anywhere where they accept Californians, to be honest.
If there was a vax for that, I would take that one.
But I have to say, everyone moving, a lot of them, these are people who moved in the last 2 years, not just for economic reasons, but for ideological reasons. And you want them in your state because they're like Cubans. You know, that's what we are. We're like refugees from Cuba. I mean, I already have two people on one of the city councils near my house who are going to help keep Texas, Texas. Like, we're not messing around. You know, we're here to help.
Well, and when you look at the impact of what they're doing in California and these other states, they're doubling down. I mean, they don't see that what they're doing is as destructive that is so apparent. I mean, again, you look at the streets in L.A. and San Francisco and San Diego. You look at what they're tolerating in their schools and the abysmal economic climate they're creating. And they see nothing wrong with that. They keep doubling down. How do we turn that tide?
I really think that red states have to exercise more leadership and be bold. They need to call this out because they're not going to stop. So you need to get, you want to advertise in your state to get people of like mind together, to consolidate power, and then, you know, demonstrate with leadership like Ron DeSantis what your state is about. And then people can decide. And so I really think, you know, in the one party states that are deep blue, I mean, it's over. They're one party oligarchies. Forget about it. You gotta have red states though, where you get rid of the complacency, realize the wokeness is happening here too, and start taking much bolder measures publicly to signal the way forward. Because what's at stake is nothing less than the American way of life in the 21st century. So let's make the choice stark.
Matthew, we've seen the impact when the mama bears, the mama grizzlies get riled up. When we saw Northern Virginia, the school mothers decided to push back, and they got action. We elected a great governor, a lieutenant governor, and an AG in Virginia with what was going on, and mainly, you know, with the fire started in Northern Virginia that spread. How do we get communities and moms and dads involved, like we saw Northern Virginia literally light that spark?
Yeah, I think this is really important. One thing that needs to happen is we need to be highlighting those efforts and explaining to people with media that this is a movement, right? I mean, they want to atomize us. They want to say, you know, no one else really thinks these things, and this is, you're the extremist. When in reality, normal people across this country are upset and concerned about what's going on in their schools. So one of the things that even with a super PAC I want to do is we want to highlight those heroes and those stories and make everyone realize this is a national movement. This is happening all across the country. It was happening in South Lake, Texas, near where I live. You know, people are rising up, and there's an emerging model here of how to do this. In fact, I spun off a nonprofit called Courage is a Habit. Courage is a Habit is a great little nonprofit that's just got going, with one of our former employees who is an activist, has actively fought off CRT in the schools in Indiana, and now is just creating really ammunition for parents and plans for parents to get active. You know, how do you even ask about this stuff, right? Well, here's a form you can give the school as they answer these questions. What are you teaching, right? So we need to, like, increase the actual activism, which the right traditionally is bad at, and we need to highlight it with media and show people this is a national movement. This is normal. They're the extremists.
Yeah, and again, we're seeing the benefits of it as people get activated, as they see others get activated. Again, as you point out, they have the courage to do the same themselves, to speak up. And one of the byproducts, one of, I guess, the benefits of COVID is by kids being taught at home, parents got just a little bit better glimpse into what was being taught, and they were appalled when they realized what was being taught to their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, this changed everything. I mean, And that's what I say, what's at stake is a way of life, and people are moving for deeper issues than just economic reasons, but you're not allowed to say it in public for some reason. COVID
keep preaching it, brother, because you're telling the truth and it's having an impact. Folks can go to AmericanFirebrand.com, AmericanFirebrand.com, get involved. And what's the website for the nonprofit?
It's Courage is a Habit.
Courage is a Habit. Go find that as well. Matthew, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment. Welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd, and joining us in just a moment, Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina. But before that, I wanted to mention one thing for you. You see Mike Lindell on TV doing his commercials and promoting the pillows, but there's more than pillows at MyPillow. They're having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Now, you have to build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell wants to give back exclusively to our listeners and his viewers and his customers. Now, the Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes. They're all on sale now for as low as $29.98 with the listener promo code here from the Todd Starnes Show. Now, order now, though, because when they're gone, they're going to be gone. Now, the sheets are breathable, have a cool and crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on the offer. It's limited supply. Order now, and it's easy to do. Go to 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS. Or go to MyPillow.com. You can click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. Get advantage of the this amazing offer again. On sale for as low as $29.98. You're not going to do better than that, so get to it now. Joining us now on our Newsmakers line from the Liberty University studios, Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina. Congressman, good to have you with us.
Well, great to be with you, Steve. Thank you.
You have almost as good a South Carolina accent as my friend Henry McMasters.
I was with Henry yesterday. He's more Charleston than I am.
He's one of my favorites because when he was one of the early Trump supporters and President Trump was saying, man, what do you want? Henry said, well, I don't really want anything, but it'd be nice if you gave our governor something. And he immediately moved into being governor of South Carolina. It's like, that's the guy who's the brilliant political strategist.
He really is. Henry has a way of saying things that no one else has. And you have a hard time understanding some words, but most of them you can come out pretty well.
Well, we appreciate you and what you're doing. And one of the things that struck me this morning as I was looking at some of the news items is, while you've been helping lead the fight against the weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI, we learned today that the FBI had to terminate or let 665 FBI employees leave after misconduct investigations. They left to avoid being prosecuted or to avoid being fired. You know, I have a lot of folks, Congressman, who say, well, the problem with the FBI and the DOJ, it's just the senior people, those top political appointees. I think we got a cultural problem that runs deep.
Got a cultural problem that runs deep, Steve, and you've got an administration that cultivates that. They have completely weaponized the FBI, the entire judicial department. I mean, we did a count not long ago. We have 40 people who have been either their phones taken or they have been arrested or harassed in some matter. All of them happen to be Trump, friends of Trump and supporters of his policies. And, Mike Lindell makes mattresses. James O'Keefe, runs Project Veritas. I mean, these people, Scott Perry, I serve with. I mean, it's taking it to a new level, and we got to put a stop to it. But for that number of people to be released on their own, I guess by the top brass to avoid being prosecuted, that's serious. And the number, 600, wow, it's shows you the depth of the corruption this administration is tolerating.
Well, and Scott Perry is chairman of the Freedom Caucus. They come and confiscate his phone. He's a retired Air Force general, and they're coming in and grabbing his phone. I told him, I ran into him a little while after. I said, I was going to call you and ask how you were, but I didn't know who to answer the phone.
Well, I know it. I mean, and they're doing this to create a fear factor, and that's the reason for the 87,000 IRS agents. I mean, they're going to be carrying guns. I mean, they're not accountants. They don't have expertise in taxes. It's harassment, and we got to stop this. They're bringing the fight to the American people, and we now realize it. And we're going to defund that if at all possible, if and when we take the House back in November, along with a lot of other things.
We got about 31 days, and as you point out, it depends on whether Republicans take the House, hopefully take the Senate as well. We talked to Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee just a little while ago. The prospects of taking the House appear good, but, man, you can't ever take anything for granted. You got to run through the tape.
Got to run through the tape, and we've got to have a plan, which I'm happy with the plan that McCarthy released, about putting America first, getting energy independent, shutting the border down, having hearings, prosecuting some of these rogue actors. But, it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take the pillars that we have released is in direct opposite of what this administration is doing to the country. But I'm anxious to get started. I think we are going to take it back, and I think we're going to have to show some backbone to the American people because that's what they expect. And Americans are scared right now with what's happening.
I think that's the concern, Congressman Ralph Norman with us from South Carolina, by the way, that if Republicans retake, that whether we'll have the courage to do what it takes to defund the FBI and the DOJ and to make them accountable and be held responsible. You know, again, even if we get a majority, we may not have a majority of conservatives. And we got folks that we're seeing, Liz Cheney and others, that always pull back against what we're wanting to do. I was talking with Congressman Jordan just a few weeks ago, and he acknowledged if we don't deliver, we may never get another chance to deliver because our base and the swing voters won't trust us if we don't deliver.
No, and you know, for the last 20 months, Americans have never seen this kind of rampant takeover that the administration has produced that's just totally anti-American. It's weakened America to really astonishing levels. And we've got to produce, and we've got to have backbone. I'm part of the Freedom Caucus, serving under Scott, and we met with the Speaker and mentioned things that we've got to do. We've got to show courage, and I think the American people are ready for it. If we don't, I think this country will suffer beyond what anybody's imagination is. For God's sake, we're over $31 trillion in the hole. We've got to stop spending. We've got to have accountability and all the above. But I think we'll do that. And I think even the middle of the roaders who are elected, there's enough of us who are going to put some light on what this administration is doing to we the people.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Freedom Caucus. You guys are the conscience of the conservative Republicans in the House. And I think you're going to get a few extra members to help buttress those numbers. One of the things that you're pushing is for Congress not to get paid until a budget passes. Folks don't realize that we've been operating under these continuing resolutions because they've not been able to pass a budget in what, decades?
It's been 26 years that Congress hadn't funded the government on time. I mean, our budget ends September 30th. You know, this is the fifth year in a row that not a single funding bill has been signed into law by the start of the fiscal year. It's been 40 years since we've had the appropriations in place, and we've only done it four times. And so that's not according to the 74 Congressional Budget Act. You know, the president's supposed to present his budget, then the House and Senate come up with theirs, and then, you know, we've had all year to do this. And the normal date that we should have been meeting is April 15th. We're well beyond that. And Steve, to put up to the magnitude, the damage that a continuing resolution does, particularly with the military, the leases have to be redone. Each office doesn't know the dollars that it has to spend. It's irresponsible. And that's why I put up the Congressional Recklessness Act. You know, the private sector, if you don't work or you don't do your job, you get your pay cut. Congress ought to do the same.
They'd be owing us back money instead of having their pay cut. The challenge, though, Congressman, is the ones that would have to vote for that are the ones that kind of like it is.
They do, but, you know, the difference today, I think people are letting their congressmen, you know why they're unhappy. Look at the candidates running all over the country. We've got a strong field, and we've got Freedom Caucus-type people who are going to take office, and we are growing. We have 30 members now, and it has to be an invitation only. But some of these, Anna Paulina Luna out of Florida, are fighters, and Mary Miller, who was elected in the last election, is a fighter. Lauren Boebert is a fighter. So we're going to continue to push the envelope because if we lose America, where do we go? There is no other country like America. And it's time to fight, and it's not time for milquetoast politicians with no spine.
Well, and Congressman Jordan and Perry, when I was meeting with them, were pointing out that, you know, we're constantly told this is the most important election in our lifetime. This one is. If we lose this one, we may not be able to take our country back.
I don't think we will. This is a do-or-die situation, and the American people need to know that. I mean, we're helpless. We've had so many bullets coming at us over the last 20 months by this Democrat-run administration, and you know we cannot just sit back and let this country just go down the tube. Our founders would be astonished at what's going on. But I think we've got the Jim Jordan attitude, the Scott Perry, and the Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others who are just not going to let that happen. So we're going to do what we can, and there's a lot riding on this now, that, and I think it's different than ever before. This isn't just a slogan, the most important election. This is the most important election.
Well, and they've not only weaponized the DOJ, but they have just ignored the law. I mean, when you just decree that you're going to forgive student loan debt without the Congress being involved, that's not how the system is meant to work. If we can regain the House and the Senate, then it puts more pressure on our attorney generals, our Republican attorney generals, who've been doing great work filing the lawsuits to stop the executive orders. You've got a great one in A.G. Wilson over there, and we've got a lot of good ones, but at least we'll move the fight to a different place, and they won't be able to jam stuff through like they're trying to do in the House and Senate right now.
Well, that's what I'm excited about. You look at the individual states, and you mentioned Alan Wilson. He's done a tremendous job. You know, they have backed the American people into a corner. And you have to come out and file lawsuits. You know, I'm typically not for suing. I'm from the private sector. But now they're making us do that. They're bringing the fight to us. And either we retreat or we pick up the challenge and meet it. And it happens to involve a lot of lawsuits, that because what they're doing is against the Constitution. Take the open borders. That's an invasion. That's nothing more than people that's prohibited per the Constitution. And they're just running ramshot over that and so many other areas. Freedom of speech, Second Amendment, you name it. It just goes down the line.
Well, and sending out the DOJ to, you know, with guns, you know, grab people that they simply disagree with politically. Congressman Ralph Norman, one of the great heroes, Freedom Caucus leader, we appreciate you, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate
Thanks for being with us. Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd, and we will be right back. Hey, this is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. You can find me on Twitter at The Gill Report. Find some of the stories we're talking about linked up there. You can also chime in on the phone lines at 844-747-8868 if you want to add your voice to the show. A little bit of breaking news this week. One of the U.S. senators who voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump, a Republican who voted for the impeachment, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, has announced he's stepping down. He just got elected last year. He's going to step down to become president of the University of Florida. He came from an academic background and is going to return to academics. Now, I say this with due respect to our Florida listeners, but as a Tennessee Vol fan, former Tennessee basketball player, this is just another reason to hate the University of Florida. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'll throw that out. Anyway, he's actually a great choice for the University of Florida. He'll be able to raise money, which is the main job of a college president these days. Brings academic qualifications as well. But does create a domino effect in Nebraska, one of the reddest states in the country. I don't think they've elected a statewide Democrat since like 2006. It's been a while, and it's going to be decidedly red for a while. Now, with Sasse's resignation, and that'll take effect at the end of December, he'll go be interviewed by the Board of Trustees, the Board of Regents down at Florida, and it'll be official in November. That will open up the seat that gets filled under Nebraska law with the appointment by the governor for someone to fill that seat for the next 2 years until they'll have a special election in 2024, timed with the presidential election to fill the remaining 2 years of Sasse's term. The six-year term for the other senator in Nebraska, Deb Fischer, will also be up in 2024. So you'll have her running for re-election, presumably, and whoever the governor appoints to fill the seat temporarily for this next 2 years stepping in as well. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The current governor, Pete Ricketts, is term limited. So there's going to be a new governor of Nebraska in January. It's likely to be a guy named Jim Pillen, a former defensive back for the University of Nebraska's football team. He was strongly supported by the current governor, Ricketts, in a large Republican primary. Pillen had the backing of not only Ricketts, but also Tom Osborne, who was his college football coach at Nebraska, who was also a three-term member of Congress from Western Nebraska at one point. Larry the Cable Guy, raised on a farm in Nebraska, was also one of those who supported Mr. Pillen. So Pillen should win handily in November, will take office in January. The governor that will appoint the replacement for the resigning Ben Sasse will be Ricketts, the current governor. And there's every speculation that he'll appoint himself since he's term limited and is not going to be governor anymore. He's not having to give up a seat. Presumably, I guess he could wait and have Jim Pillen appoint him in January, put a little delay in filling that seat. But again, if you're going to have new U.S. senators stepping into the Senate, it makes sense from Nebraska's standpoint to get a little bit of seniority to put President Trump's ally, Pete Ricketts, the governor of Nebraska, put him in early, or at least earlier than wait until January, get a little seniority over those who get elected in November and take office in January to their Senate seats around the country. There are likely to be 5, 6 or so new senators. And with Sasse leaving, he's been a conservative vote. He's been a dependable conservative vote in the Senate, but has clashed with President Trump, obviously voted for the impeachment of President Trump that did not win him many friends in the Senate or in Nebraska. So you're going to see a little bit of a domino effect there. So you'll still almost certainly see a Republican senator, Republican governor is going to appoint a Republican. And again, you're also going to see a Republican governor replace Pete Ricketts as governor in Nebraska, a decidedly red state. So again, interesting news that is coming from the Senate as Sasse will exit and probably get a stronger Republican conservative in the Senate from Nebraska. 844-747-8868, the phone number if you want to chime in on the lines and join us like Dennis from New York who's listening on our live stream. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. Yes, I was just going to call about we're stuck here in New York State with Senator Schumer, and he's up for re-election. We hope to get rid of him, but I fear that the GOP, New York State's GOP, is not up to the challenge. But we will get rid of our governor, Kathy Hochul.
Yeah, I think she's like hanging on by a thread, and the continued crime issues in New York aren't helping her at all. Hopefully we'll cross our fingers. New York will get it right. By the way, one thing I want to remind you again, if you have not already gone online to support ADF, Alliance for Defending Freedom, I'm going to tell you more about it when we come back in just a moment.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Gun check. Bible check. Todd's not here. That's the only thing missing. I'm Steve Gill. I'm filling in for Todd today. He's taking a well-deserved break today. I mentioned just before the break, though, that I want to make sure you're contributing to ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. You know, look, we're seeing so many assaults on our freedoms, on our rights, particularly our religious freedoms, and nobody is fighting harder than the Alliance Defending Freedom. And right now, because of a generous gift, the Alliance for Defending Freedom has an opportunity for you to give and have your gift matched 2-to-1 right there, 100%. Thanks to the Todd Starnes Show, we're trying to raise a total of $25,000. So your gift of $100 or any amount gets doubled when you go to toddstarnes.com. You click on Alliance Defending Freedom, the banner right there at toddstarnes.com, and that will double your donation. So look, you want to double up your help. I mean, you wait later and you can give and it'll be good, but right now you can double up your help by doing exactly that. Go to toddstarnes.com, give any amount, and it will double for the Alliance Defending Freedom. They're fighting against cancel culture. They're fighting for religious liberty. And your personal support will help us make that difference. And we need you. So go to toddstarnes.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. You can make a tax-deductible donation. And remember that right now, your first gift in any amount, gets doubled. Another guy who's leading the fight against the excesses of the left is our friend Russ Vogt, who was the head of OMB, Office of Management and Budget, for President Trump, is now heading an organization that is fighting on a whole host of issues at the Center for Renewing America. You can find out more at American Renewing Com, and one of the issues that he's focused on right now is the, you know, what we were talking with Congressman Ralph Norman earlier, the oversight of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Russ, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's great to be on.
You know, it's crazy. I had a couple of new Joe Biden gaffes today, but I don't think it's news if Joe Biden commits a gaffe anymore. But he's got here's the latest one that Joe Biden has given us. Again, I don't know if it's news because it's like a gaffe a day for Joe Biden. Either he's whispering creepily or he's backing away, backing up like a truck backing up without the beep beep sound, or getting lost on a stage trying to figure out how to get the heck off stage. Here's the latest one.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America. Made in America.
I'm not sure what's worse, the fact that the crowd clapped to his two words or the fact that he thinks made in America is two words. I've got one. Two words. You're a moron. Anyway, Joe Biden's latest gaffe. Russ, good to have you with us.
It's amazing. Anything that comes out of his mouth either needs to be walked back, is totally incomprehensible because it's a mumble, or it is a gaffe. And it's one of those three, and it keeps the White House in constant state of having to deal with something that comes out of his mouth that's either completely lacking in clarity or is very clear but exactly the wrong policy for what the country needs or their policies have been stating thus far.
Well, and as much as I admire and love President Trump, I mean, and every day was not a well-oiled machine under the Trump White House, at least when there would be something that would go wrong, you didn't have a press secretary like President Biden has that makes it worse.
Right. And you knew that if he was going to move in a different direction, that's actually where he wanted to move the country. And so, you know, that gave us a very good sense as the people that were trying to corral the bureaucracy on his behalf that, you know, this was the way that we were going. That's why I found the Twitter account so valuable. It was kind of a bat line for those of us in the salt mines that were trying to ensure at every opportunity that the government that the American people brought to power was actually making the changes and not relying on, you know, the bureaucratic processes that just cripple and suffocate us.
Well, and you've been in D.C. for a while, so you know that, you know, even when there's a change in administration, so many of the bureaucrats are burrowed in, they stay in place, they're people who are not reflecting the values of the American people and really don't know much about the American people. And we're seeing it in spades at the FBI and Department of Justice. I was talking with Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina earlier, and yeah, I get told all the time, Russ, that, oh, well, the issue at the FBI and the DOJ, it's those senior officials in Washington. That's the problem. We've got great, hardworking, you know, DOJ attorneys and FBI agents throughout the country, and we do, but it's a culture issue, and it runs right to the roots. And I think anything to fix the DOJ and FBI at this point isn't just firing and prosecuting the top officials. It's you're going to have to dig deep and make some real changes.
I believe that as well, and I think that you see that in some of the things like what has occurred in Michigan with the Detroit field operations doing this entrapment scheme to be able to coax conservatives into something that would cause them to be able to tar the entire conservative movement with being domestic terrorism. And I think the reason why you know it's a culture problem is the head of that field office got promoted to run the Washington, D.C. field office. And so that's one of the reasons I've called for a church-style committee, a select committee, hearkening back to the 1970s with Senator Frank Church, who was able to bring the FBI and CIA to their knees for a brief moment in time in front of the American people. Because we know there's a culture problem. We don't know the extent of it. And we need to figure out the extent of it and then spend a year or two really developing the reforms that would be something that you could implement in the next conservative administration.
You know, the other indication that it's a culture problem that runs deep is we just had a news story today. 664 FBI agents were forced out of their roles over the last 14 years for misconduct, and they resigned rather than be fired and prosecuted. That's a lot of folks, and the fact that we let them go rather than getting to the bottom of it, I think, again, reveals a bigger problem.
I think that's true. I think that you've got issues like why is it the only prosecutions we hear about or the investigations we hear about are people that are participating in the political process, that are people that are trying to be outside of pro-life clinics, that are people that are going, parents concerned about their school and going to the school board meetings. That's what we're hearing about. And then you add in the fact that there are all of these situations, these arrests, the FBI showing up with massive SWAT teams. I mean, there's just so many different data points that need to be investigated thoroughly to get at the extent to which ultimately this is the goal. We need to be able to restore the trust that the American people had in their law enforcement agencies through reform in some respect, so that trust can be restored, because they don't have it right now.
Well, and the selective enforcement has been a problem for a while, but when they're targeting, you know, dads for defending their 12-year-old being, you know, bumped up against by somebody harassing them at a pro-life rally. Yeah, and again, they come out with guns drawn rather than letting the guy turn himself in. You know, they'll perp walk conservatives and give a complete pass to guys like Hunter Biden. We're now hearing the leak that they've got enough to prosecute him, but they're leaving out what to me would be the most dangerous part, is the failure to register as a foreign agent that would lead directly to his dad. We've got one of his former partners that says he has videotapes that he turned over to the FBI. They're not pursuing it. They won't return it. You know, they're giving Hunter Biden a pass. They're coming in and perp walking dads while this guy gets to fly around on Air Force One.
Yeah, exactly. You have 75 million people that are sitting there back in their homes, people like you and I, and they're thinking, you know what? If I go out and try to save my country by engaging on any of those issues that are the hot button issues, I can foresee the FBI showing up at my door, and I know for a fact that anyone that was rioting and burning diners down as part of the BLM riots in response to George Floyd's murder are not facing that. We know that because they all got released. And so there is a complete double standard, and that's what's causing the erosion of trust, the forfeiture of trust that the American people no longer have. And I believe the only way that we're going to be able to do this is not through worthless hearings that don't go anywhere, but to actually have an institution that has full spectrum jurisdiction, the ability to declassify, the ability to have subpoena power, and goes at the extent of the weaponization against the American people. And it's not just the FBI, it's the IRS, it's portions of the intel community, it is pervasive, and we need to be able to go after that.
To me, Russ, the biggest issue, by the way, Russ Vogt with us this morning, AmericaRenewing.com is the website for Center for Renewing America, AmericaRenewing.com. You can find a whole list of the items that they're working on. That betrayal of trust that people have in our institutions has been eroding for a while, but the FBI, the Department of Justice, our judicial system has always ranked pretty high in people continuing to trust it. They have completely eroded, if not destroyed, that with the politicization and weaponization of these agencies. How do we, I mean, again, your church committee could start to rein them in, but how do we restore that trust? Because that's completely been broken.
Well, I think it requires by people being held accountable and actually having reforms. And I don't think you're going to restore the trust by just getting the right director in. Chris Ray's not a good director. I think you've got to once you deal with the culture and you make changes that say these institutions are now going to be fundamentally different, I believe the FBI needs to be broken up and really downsized and parceled off to their different authorities. We need federal law enforcement, but I'm not convinced that we're going to be able to fully have them regain their trust without significant reform and dismantling. But it's going to require that. And I think that's why we need the institution of the select committee, the church committee, to come in, have the necessary oversight to develop the fact pattern, the full case, but also the reforms on what is going to be necessary. Because we need to do two things at the end of this process. We need a secure country. We need to have a strong law enforcement. But at the same time, those cannot be used as pretext to do what they're doing right now, which is go after us, to send the NSA to surveil us, to send the SWAT team to arrest us for protesting. And those are the kinds of things that have to change. And I don't think until you actually see the hard work of reform that people will recognize something is different.
From a political standpoint, last question, how do we navigate the fine line between reforming and dismantling the bad pieces of the FBI, changing the culture, and sounding like we're also for defunding the police?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's being really clear that we're the party of law enforcement, we're the movement of law enforcement. And so when we have an issue with a particular institution because they're not doing that, we're actually on the side of law enforcement. And you know who attests to that? The whistleblowers that are coming to Jim Jordan saying we need to tell our story, or the people that have reached out to me as we've been a part of this. You know, I'm on the phone with former FBI agents that are helping us inform what we do. And, you know, we want the FBI to get back in the business of federal crimes. We want to have them to be able to go after real law enforcement activities that will keep us together as a community, as opposed to the left, which wants to defund it so that they have an opportunity to tear our country apart or have lawbreakers tear us apart. And I think I think we have to be careful, but I believe that the American people will know who's always been on the side of law enforcement. Our side has. So we've got the opportunity to say, look, there's a problem that we need to fix.
Russ Vogt, keep up the great work. Center for Renewing America, go to americarenewing.com. They're doing a lot of other things as well. And keep up the great work, my friend. Look forward to catching up with you soon.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Gill. This is the Todd Starnes Show, and we will be back in just a moment as you've got the president and President Zelensky in Ukraine trying to lurch us to Armageddon, to nuclear war. What can we do to stop that? We're back in a moment. This is the Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Steve Gill filling in for Todd. And I just mentioned before that quick break that you know, we've got the president and President Zelensky in Ukraine lurching us towards Armageddon. Yet Zelensky demand, not ask, demand that NATO launch a preemptive strike against Russia to diminish their nuclear strike capacity. Ukraine isn't in NATO, and NATO launching a preemptive strike against Russia would precipitate World War III. We've got the U.S. government looking for different pharmaceuticals to deal with radioactive fallout. You've got President Biden talking about Armageddon being closer than ever before, and yet we keep sending money to Zelensky, who's trying to force us into World War III, apparently not realizing that they will be on the front lines of it, and he's not likely to survive. Just bizarre. We'll talk more about that. And, man, there's a reason Democrats don't want to debate Republicans they're running against for the Senate and the House. Blake Masters torched Mark Kelly in Arizona debate. We're going to share that with you in the next half hour. You got to hear this. This is why Democrats won't debate their Republican opponents, because they get absolutely just manhandled in the case of Blake Masters taking down this "I'm an astronaut" senator from Arizona. Also, it's more important than ever to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Wow, what a concept. Doing something rather than just talking. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for the causes we care about. So switch to Patriot Mobile now. Use the promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers that other carriers use. They have the plans to fit any budget with great discounts. And our veteran and first responder heroes get benefits and discounts as well. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount, a free premier activation, by using promo code Todd. For more information, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. So you get all the information you need there, and you'll be good to go. When we come back, we're going to share more about why Democrats don't want to debate. Blake Masters just absolutely destroyed Senator Kelly, the Democrat in Arizona. You have Carrie Lake, the governor's candidate in Arizona. She's starting to move ahead in the polls. A red wave is looming. But we are conservatives. We are Republicans. We can We can still screw it up. So we'll talk a little bit about how we can avoid that here, a little bit more about how Blake Masters torched Mark Kelly out in Arizona in his debate. And again, it's one of the reasons they're running and hiding from debates. We were talking earlier in the hour about the FBI, you know, hiding the facts and hiding what they're doing and going after grannies while real crime is taking place. The murder rate rose more than 30% in the last 2 years, according to the FBI. While they're tracking down grannies and dads who try to protect 12-year-old kids from harassing, abusing protesters, they're ignoring the murder rate that's risen more than 30% in 2 years. And it's worse because the FBI reports don't include the crime rates from the biggest blue Democrat violent cities like New York and Chicago and L.A. They're not turning in their reports to the FBI to sort of downplay how bad the crime rate is. Security is the issue on the ballot in the midterms. Security. Border security, economic security, your security in your neighborhoods. It is a security election, and that ought to be the only thing Republicans are talking about. We'll talk more about it, share that Blake Masters info with you in just a moment. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Hey, welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Steve Gill coming for you from the Liberty University Studios, filling in for Todd today. Hey, pull that clip again of Joe Biden can't count to three. Starting his speech by pointing out that mumbling, whispering, those aren't his only skills.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America. Made in America.
You just can't make this stuff up. That's not even common core math. Now, one of the reasons that Democrats are running and hiding from him is because of his inept policies, his destructive policies, his inability to communicate effectively, count things, basic things. So the guy that can't count to three is in charge of keeping us from nuclear Armageddon, while Zelensky in Ukraine is wanting the NATO operations to launch a nuclear or at least preemptive strike against Russia to knock out Russia's nuclear capabilities. Yeah, let's start with an act of war that will create World War III. And Joe, two words, Biden is the guy between us and Armageddon. Brilliant. So the Democrats are running from him. They don't want to have him coming in and campaigning in their districts. His numbers are bad. Although the Wall Street Journal today is pushing out some poll that they claim shows that independents are gravitating towards the Democrats. I want to see the details of that poll. Did they just poll Democrats that were supposedly independents? Did they poll voters, registered voters, adults? Again, when you look at the polls and the way they're tweaking them to try and create any momentum they can build for the Democratic Party, it's not working. And again, as you pull into the gas pumps today and are paying more than last week, while Joe Biden claims that he has lowered gas prices $1.60. Yeah, but they're still like $1.60 above where they were when you took office, moron Joe. Really bad at math. But Joe's not the only one that's having a tough time. You have the Arizona Senate race, and Republicans need to pick up a net of one net gain seats to take us from our 50-50 split in the Senate to Republicans taking the gavel from Chuck Schumer and restoring at least some common sense, perhaps, to the U.S. Senate. There are about four or five seats that Republicans could pick up if Herschel Walker can win in Georgia, if we can win with Laxalt in Nevada. There's others. There's seats that apparently are in play that Democrats didn't think would be in play just a few short months ago. But one of the key races is to win in Arizona, where Blake Masters is taking on Mark Kelly, the incumbent senator. And they had a debate. Now, the Democrats have been running from debates all over the country like crazy because they can't defend their positions. They have to pretend they're something they're not. In fact, as I'm looking at ads from around the country, Democrats running in the House and in the U.S. Senate are running these ads that make them sound like they're conservatives, that they're for building the wall, they're for cracking down on crime in their communities, that they never said defund the police, that they don't want abortion up till the moment before birth. They just want to attack Republicans on that issue. Yeah, they're the ones that have consistently voted against the policies that would strengthen America, and yet they're running TV commercials and radio ads that sound like they're somebody they're not. So they can't debate where their lies will be exposed. years and years ago, I ran for Congress and had an opponent that was running all these attack ads, spewing just outright lies, and had some good old boy in rural Tennessee tell me, "Steve, don't worry about the lies he's got on you. The truth you've got on him is much worse." And that's the thing that Republicans have. The truth we got on them is much worse than the lies they're telling about themselves and about Republican opponents. The problem is the media is not covering that. So that's why debates are important. You have to have the folks be able to go toe-to-toe, mano-a-mano in the case of Kelly and Blake Masters. And then you can expose that they don't know what they're talking about and that they're just outright lying about their record and their Republican opponents. So Blake Masters was exposing in this debate last night what Mark Kelly has actually voted for.
You never have to wonder which way Senator Kelly is going to vote, because any spending bill that Biden puts in front of him, he will sign. So, yeah, we got the Inflation Reduction Act, and Mark Kelly was the deciding vote. He hired 87,000 new IRS agents. Mark Kelly voted to send stimulus checks to illegal aliens. He voted to send stimulus checks to, get this, violent felons sitting in jail. Is that a good use of taxpayer money? I don't think so. Think about that the next time you go to the grocery store and you can't afford to buy steak or eggs.
Well, and the other thing to think about when you go to the grocery store is what's missing from the shelves. I was at a grocery store the other day, and the whole, you know, like processed meat section where, you know, packaged bologna and ham and that stuff, it looked like a Russian grocery store from the 1980s. This is not a supply chain issue. We're not getting our bologna from China. You look at the cereal aisles, and either the cereal boxes are smaller than they were before or they're non-existent. We're not getting our cereal, our Kellogg's Corn Flakes from Russia or from China. It's not supply chain issues. This is a destroyed economy that's getting worse and worse. Gas prices are going up. Inflation is rising. We're knee-deep in a recession and getting worse, despite the fact that the Biden administration continually denied that we were in a recession, then said it would be temporary, and now acknowledges they can't really do anything to fix it. And the same President Biden, whose administration was claiming had nothing to do with gas prices, it was all Putin, now is claiming credit when they go down because we release our Strategic Petroleum Reserve to the lowest level in 40 years? He's not responsible when it goes up, but by gosh, he's going to take credit when it goes down temporarily, and it's already going up again, already back above $6 in California, headed back up above $4 in most of the country. You're not going to hear him talking about the higher gas prices. He's just going to try to claim credit for a few days that they're lower than they were when they were really bad. Now, Blake Masters also exposed that Mark Kelly has not done diddly when it comes to securing our border. And security is the issue in this election, as every community is now a border state.
I've been focused on the border since day one on this job. I'm down there all the time. I was on the phone this week just, you know, with Mayor Nichols of Yuma, Sheriff Daniels of Cochise County, talking about what more we need for Border Patrol and immigration.
That, my friends, is called evasion.
We're working to raise Border Patrol pay by 18%. I've got legislation to do that. I've been focused on the border since day one.
Okay.
Effects because we have a wide open southern border. So if that's the best you can do, I respectfully request you resign and let's get someone in the seat who will actually secure our border.
You know, it's interesting. Mark Kelly doesn't even have the clout with the Biden administration to get Kamala Harris to come down to the border. She was at the border between North Korea and South Korea last week. Can't make any time while she's in charge of border security to go down to Arizona. Maybe she could go down with Mark Kelly and have all the answers. The Democrats control the House and the Senate. They control the White House. If Mark Kelly had any clout, any influence as a Democrat in the U.S. Senate for Arizona, why hadn't his bill already passed? Why hadn't the president already raised the pay of border agents? Why hasn't anything been done? As Blake Masters said, "Sir, if this is the best you can do, if you're saying this is the best you can do, you're a miserable failure. You should resign." He's right on point. So how do we make that difference? I mean, you know, Arizona voters are going to have to make the difference. Pennsylvania voters are going to have to make the difference. All over this country, voters are going to have to make the difference. So where are those votes that can make this difference? A lot of them are in the church pews. You know, the last several presidential elections, 17 million Christian evangelicals. I'm not just talking about self-identified Christians. Christian evangelicals. 17 million either weren't registered to vote or stayed home. Now, the difference in the last couple of presidential elections was if you turned out enough conservatives, Republicans won the the White House and congressional seats and Senate seats. When conservatives, Christian evangelicals stay home, the other side wins. Maybe they cheat. Maybe they steal votes. But if you vote enough, you overcome that. You had states like Arizona, Pennsylvania, others that were 20, 30,000 vote margins, Georgia. How many Christian evangelicals were in the pews on Sunday but didn't show up at the polls on Tuesday? That's the missing votes. You overcome the theft, the steal, the lies, the disinformation that the left puts out with their lackeys in the media if you show up and vote. And yet, unfortunately, we have so many pastors who are happy to preach the gospel in these evangelical churches on Sunday, but won't say, go vote your conscience. Go vote your principles. Go vote your values. And I would subscribe to you that if your pastor isn't encouraging people in that church to go vote, not saying who to go vote for. I know a lot of the pastors are afraid that their tax status might be repealed or attacked. The IRS will come with their 87,000 agents with guns and invade the church. You don't have to say who you should vote for, but you can encourage people to pray, to discern, and to vote your values. I mean, if you're pro-life, why are you staying at home and not voting for pro-life candidates? You can identify them. The pastor doesn't need to do that for you. If you believe in the Bible, you can vote biblical morality. You can identify those candidates pretty easily, very easily. All your pastor has to do, all your elders has to do, all your deacons have to do is say, go vote. You got early voting starting all over the country. In some places, it's already started now. As your pastor on Sunday has been saying, this week, go vote early. On election day, be sure to vote. Get out of the pews. Go to the polls. If your pastor isn't saying that, you may be in the wrong church. During the American Revolution, we had pastors literally walking out of their churches, leading people to fight for the freedoms that we now take for granted. There are pastors like that today, but there are too many that are the mealy-mouthed, go-it-to-get-along, who aren't even saying, go vote. There ought to be voter registration efforts. There's nothing illegal about that. There ought to be turn-out-the-vote efforts in every church, particularly every evangelical church in America. And if those 17 million Christian evangelicals who've been AWOL, who've been missing, but who are going to be quick to complain on Sunday mornings or at Sunday morning lunch after church or during the week about the moral decline in our country, the lack of spirit in our country, spiritual attachment in our country, the lack of biblical value in our country, while we have transgenders dancing in drag shows in our schools and in our libraries in front of our kids. Don't complain about it if you're not doing everything you can to encourage your fellow parishioners or churchgoers to get out and vote. You got weeks to do it. We got 30 days. Every day, what are you going to be doing to make sure that people go vote if they say, I'm a Christian evangelical? Because if you stay home, you might as well be signing up and getting out votes for Satan. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Kanye West is speaking up. Man, Kanye West went on Tucker Carlson. I'm a new believer in Kanye. Love his music. I'm starting to like his politics. We'll talk more about that in a moment. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes, and we'll be right back.
You know, for the life of me, I cannot understand why the world is so concerned about the affairs that's happening in the Ukraine and Russia. This is their war. This is not our war. They want us to get sucked into World War III here for the poor fate on the continent of Europe. How does that make any sense at all? Real great leadership out of the Biden administration and other liberal progressive countries throughout the world.
That's Connor from Boston raising a great question. You know, what's our dog in that fight? You know, part of the problem is that we've had this, you know, Russia bad propaganda for the last, you know, 5-6 years because they were trying to blame everything on Trump being in the pocket of Russia, which turned out to be a complete lie. I mean, again, all the Russia hoax was a lie. And yet we still have this knee-jerk anti-Russia. Again, I'm not saying Putin and the invasion is valid or good. I'm just saying that we've had this policy in our country of being jerked into a conflict that really is not our fight. We've sent $75 billion We just sent another $16 billion. Boy, that would have gone a long way to try and repair Florida, wouldn't it? And keep in mind that, that Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. That's where you had Biden's son, Hunter, you know, making out big with 10% going to the big guy that we've not investigated. And the, you know, potential prosecution of Hunter Biden isn't going to take us down the path to actually find out how deep Joe Biden was involved in that process as well. They impeached President Trump over a bogus phone call with Zelensky saying, hey, investigate this corruption. Oh, that's an impeachable offense because you had some, you know, portly soldier claiming things that were not said on the phone call to generate a lot of confusion and to get us drugged further into dealing with Zelensky. Look, the last 8 years, Eastern Ukraine has been under fire from Ukraine, from their militia, from their actual Nazis, with civilians and innocents being killed, murdered, and bombed. And Putin for a long time has been saying, if you don't stop it, I will. And that's what they did. Again, we don't get both sides of the story. That's the other big problem, Connor. Whenever we're just getting one side of the story in the news media, Ukraine good, Russia bad, Zelensky hero, Putin evil. We just get one side of the story. We saw the same thing with COVID. We saw the same thing with the vaccines. Now we're getting the truth that the vaccines weren't as safe as they said, that it wasn't as dangerous as they claimed. But man, all you heard from the media was one side of the story. Anytime you're only hearing one side of the story, you need to dig deeper. And we need to be digging a lot deeper before we continue to send tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine. Hey, by the way, I mentioned religious liberty and protecting our religious liberties. And our first step is going to the ballot box. Again, if you're a Christian evangelical, get off the pews and get to the polls and encourage your friends and neighbors to do so. Another group that's encouraging and fighting for our religious liberties, protecting our God-given freedoms, is the Alliance for Defending Freedom. Now, look, we've got exciting news. We're raising $25,000 for Alliance Defending Freedom, and we need your help. It's the world's largest nonprofit legal organization that's committed to protecting religious freedom. They've already won like 14 cases in the U.S. Supreme Court. We need to keep winning there, and they need the money to do it. Now, thanks to a generous donation, the ADF has the opportunity for us to match donations. So if you give $10, they'll double it to $20. If you give $100, they'll double it to $200. It's simple math that Joe Biden might not understand. Two words. Well, this is like three words. You can double what you're donating if you give today. Now, it's easy to do. Go to toddstarnes.com, toddstarnes.com. Click on Alliance Defending Freedom. It's a banner right there on the website. When you donate, it helps fight against the culture of corruption, the culture of wokeism that's destroying our schools and our communities. It protects your religious ability to pray and speak your mind on faith issues. ADF needs your help, and you can help and get that goal of $25,000 reached by your donation. Again, doubled up if you go to toddstarnes.com, click on Alliance Defending Freedom, and make your donation. So be sure to do that today, and yeah, then your weekend you can rest a little easier knowing that you've done your part. And then when you're in church on Sunday, start reminding people they need to go to the polls. They need to go vote early. They need to put yard signs in their yards. Get involved and engaged, because as Congressman Norman talked with us earlier in the show, we're on the precipice of not being able to recover. If we don't make a difference in this election cycle, it may be too late. We may not be able to come back from the disasters that are looming, including a potential nuclear war over Ukraine. You know, I had the opportunity to embed with U.S. troops in Iraq a couple of times and spend time in the Middle East, and people would say, well, we're just over there for oil. Well, God, I hope that's what we were over there for, because there was nothing else over there that I would have wanted. What is in Ukraine? I mean, there's some farm products. They feed most of Europe. That's Europe's deal. And again, we have not kept our word. We have said that Ukraine would not become a part of NATO, and then you had Kamala saying they were going to come in and Biden saying they were going to come in, and those got excused as gaffes. But foreign leaders don't think we're as stupid to put people like that in charge. They think they're saying the truth. Not just gaffes. And they're about to gaff us into World War III. You have a great weekend. Thanks to the team here at the Todd Starnes team. Great job as always, guys. And we will talk again soon. Have a great weekend.
Three-star four-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.